Galatians chapter 1 verses 15 to 17. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Last week, we looked at the tremendous change that took place in Saul of Tarsus' life. We looked at what type of character he was before he was converted and became the great apostle to the Gentiles. What made the apostle Paul the strong Christian, stable Christian that he was? There are some Christians, and they don't seem to be stable Christians at all. They seem to be so feeble, so wishy-washy, it's very difficult to tell what exactly they do believe, if they really do believe. They're unstable, they're insecure, they seem to lack convictions, they're so changeable. And somebody that was like that was Simon Peter. You remember a few years ago, we looked at the Lord changing the weak, wishy wimp Simon into the strong, stable character of Peter, who was like a rock, immovable. That was Simon Peter. He was a weak, wishy washy wimp, you might say, until the Lord changed him. But when we come to look at the Apostle Paul, when we come to look at what he was when he was Saul of Tarsus, we have a completely different person from the person who was Simon. Because Saul of Tarsus was already a stable character. Saul of Tarsus knew exactly what he believed. Saul of Tarsus had the courage of his convictions. Saul of Tarsus always did what he thought was right. So, when he was converted by Jesus Christ on that Damascus road, what changed? What altered? Well, what changed and what altered was what he thought was right. That's what changed for Saul of Tarsus. You see, there are people who have the courage of their convictions. But what these people need, as Saul of Tarsus needed, was to examine their convictions. Plenty of people have convictions. Hitler had convictions. Osama bin Laden has convictions. They don't simply have convictions, they have the courage of their convictions. What these people need is to examine their convictions. What are they based upon? Now, that's what Saul of Tarsus needed to do. He had the courage of his convictions, but his convictions were wrong. Saul of Tarsus, you see, had natural virtues. By his personality, he was born with resolution or resolve. If Saul of Tarsus felt it was his duty to do something, nothing could dissuade him. Nothing could distract him. Nothing could daunt him. He had what they used to call fortitude, which just means the ability to endure suffering and sorrow to achieve and fulfill one's goals. Saul of Tarsus was like that. If he got into his head to do something, he stuck it out. And he had courage. Loads and loads of it. So much so that he'd carry on with his agenda, even although he was scared to death. You see, courage isn't being unafraid. Courage is carrying on with something when you are afraid, when you're terrified. Carrying on. You've got the courage of your convictions. So what changed then for this Saul of Tarsus that day he met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road and was a new creature? What changed for him? A new dimension was given to his convictions. That's what's changed. Perhaps put it better, a new direction was given to his convictions. Or perhaps you simply want to say, perhaps we want to, maybe we should entitle this sermon, "What Established Paul in the Faith." He already was a strong character. What established him in the Christian faith? Well, I suggest three things, some of which we read. First of all, I think the 3 years' wait in Arabia made all the difference. You remember last week we read in his conversion, he went out and preached instantly, but only for a very short while. Then, as we read here in Galatians, he went out for 3 years to Arabia. What he learnt in that 3 years. Then, secondly, the thing that established him in the faith, I would suggest, was his learning time with Peter, James and John, who were pillars in the church. Now that comes up in Galatians chapter 2, which we did not read. But he spent time with the apostles, the leaders. That was formative in his establishment in the Christian faith. But then, as we also read thirdly, in 2 Corinthians, there was the hardships, the oppositions, the disappointments. And you know, these things, as we'll discover, can be blessed by God. They ruin our lives, we think. But you know, if Jesus Christ comes into that disappointment, if Jesus Christ comes into an adversity, a hardship, that very hardship can become a blessing. What is normally a curse can become a blessing if we bring Jesus Christ into our trouble. And Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, certainly learned that. So let's look briefly at these three things. First of all, the 3 year wait in Arabia. There was Paul. By the time he was 21, he had the equivalent of two PhDs. He's already been preaching in the Jewish synagogues. Why this wait for 3 years? Why does God say to him, "Now, Paul, I'm going to get you to do nothing for 3 years, and will speak to you for 3 years, and then you can start your work"? Why? Isn't he sufficiently qualified already? He's been preaching already. Okay, it was a different message, but he's learnt all about oratory, hasn't he? Well, always remember this. God has his reasons. God had his reasons for Paul, and he's got his reasons for us too. We might think, when you see a young person that's on fire for Christ, he's been newly converted, he's full of zeal, he applies for the ministry, and they go and give him a long course, you say, "Oh, you'll discourage him, you'll put him off." Only if he isn't truly called. You see, God knew he was calling Paul. And God knew what was best for Paul. And what God had planned for Paul to you and me seemed to be an unwise thing. But it made Paul. Waiting cultivates grace. Patience is simply faith taking its time. Think of John Calvin who said that. Patience is just faith taking its time. God uses waiting time. We might say, what a waste of 3 years. Think of the good that young man, the Apostle Paul, think of the good he could have done in these 3 years. And God says, no. He's keen, he's ready, he's qualified. God says, no, 3 years wait in Arabia. We say, what a waste. No, 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 no. Well, how God used these 3 years waiting time. And there's a lesson there for all of us. Perhaps what we need to do, instead of speeding up, perhaps what we need to do is slowing down. Instead of proclaiming and discussing and talking things, perhaps what we need to do is reflect and meditate more often than we're doing. Because that's what Paul had to do in Arabia. Reflect, meditate. Perhaps what we need to do is to seek depth. To penetrate further into God. Because that's what makes us strong. And that's what established Paul in the faith. We need to be sure we know exactly what we believe. You ask some Christians, now what exactly do you believe? And you find they're not very sure exactly what they believe. How are you forgiven? How can God do that? Not very sure. What did Paul do for these 3 years in Arabia? He learned exactly what he believed. And not only what he believed, but why he believed it. How is it that in one moment God can go along to any sinner in any condition and instantly forgive him all his sins? Upon what basis can God do that and still be righteous, still be just? You know very well you've committed some serious sins. And yet in one moment God can wipe them all out and still be just. Still be holy. How can he do that? What's the basis for that? Paul spent 3 years in Arabia getting to know these things, and what a man it made of him. And I think in these 3 years in Arabia, Saul counted the cost of what would be involved if he would stick to his principles and stick to what he really believed in this new religion. That he gave the 3 years he spent getting deeper and deeper into it. What is the basis? What exactly has God said? How can God forgive me just like that? He grew roots into what he believed. 3 years in Arabia was not a waste of time. God used these 3 years of waiting. And it made Paul deep, deep, deep roots into God. And it stabilized him. Established him in the faith. But secondly, there was the learning from Peter, James and John. Well, what did he learn from them? Well, one of the things he learned, I'm sure, was that he couldn't just go out on his own. He did go out on his own for a while. But if he's to be a member of the church, if he's to preach from the church, he's to work with the rest of the apostles. He learned he was not indispensable. The church had been growing and growing and spreading and spreading before Saul was converted. God didn't need Paul. God chose to use him, but he didn't need him. And we have to remember that God needs none of us. He's chosen some of us to use us, but he doesn't need us. He can do without us. But when Saul of Tarsus learnt he was not indispensable, well, that did make him humble. That humbled him. Now, when Saul of Tarsus was a member of the Sanhedrin, he had a tremendous future. He was going places. He was making a name for himself. He had tremendous prospects as a member of the Sanhedrin. He knew the Hebrew language inside out. As we said already, he had 2 PhDs in Hebrew. He had a tremendous future ahead of him. Now, he had to fight hard just to be accepted by the church. Just to be accepted by them. And he had to humble himself. And that was God's purpose. So, I'm going to turn you into the apostle, the great apostle to the Gentiles. I've got to humble you. Oh, by the way, do you notice all the instructions in the Bible about humbling ourselves? We are to humble ourselves. Not to let God humble us. But to ask God to give us grace to humble ourselves. Now, why are we asked to do that in the Bible? Paul, by nature, was a proud man. And God said, you have to learn, Paul, if you're going to be great, you have to learn how to be humble yourself. Why? Do you know why? Because God wanted to raise him up. Do you want to be raised up? Do you want God to exalt you? Well, you've got to learn to humble yourself. The Savior says on more than one occasion in the Bible, he that humbles himself will be exalted. The way to be exalted is to humble yourself. Paul learned that. Somebody has said, the rewards that God gives a Christian for good service are on shelves. But they are not on shelves one above another. The rewards which God gives faithful servants are on shelves one below another. So that the greater rewards are the further down you stoop. It's just the way God works. Humble yourself in order that you'll be lifted up. Do you want to be exalted? Then learn to humble yourself. And then there was a third thing that God used to make Paul great. That he established him in the Christian faith. We read it there in 2 Corinthians. There was the hardships. There was the opposition. There was the persecutions. There was the disappointments. Now, trials, you know, make one strong and stable. Do you know how to make a weakling? Do you know how to make a weakling? Ensure that they get everything they want immediately. Make sure they don't have to wait. Make sure if they ask for anything, they get it. And get it quickly. They don't have to wait. That's how you make somebody weak. Soft. That doesn't build them up. That doesn't strengthen them. No, we have to remember that when we're bringing up children. We have to strengthen them. Now, trials strengthen people. It's a very dangerous thing to ask God for more faith, to ask God for to be a stronger Christian. He'll do it, but only through trials. That's just the way it happens. That's the way it works. Now, we read there in 2 Corinthians 12 about how God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He was exalted above measure. God had given him the special privilege of revelations and visions. And naturally, Paul would become proud. God spoke to me specially. But in order that he would not become proud, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, he says, was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now remember what we read? Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, he says, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Why? Because when I'm weak, then actually I'm strong. It's Christ's power. Now, did you notice? God permitted Satan to buffet Paul. Can you identify with that? You felt the same? Well, remember, God allows that to some people. But remember the kind of people he does it to. The Apostle Paul. Job. Remember Job? Buffeted by Satan. God allows that, but it's with a purpose. To give double blessing or to make great. Do you remember? Did you note it? Remember what you read there? He prayed 3 times. And God said no the 3 times. Can you identify with that? Well, the Apostle Paul could. Job could. In fact, the Saviour could. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, under tremendous stress, do you remember he prayed the same words 3 times? Are you ever in such a stressful situation that you have to go away and you say, oh, I'm just saying the same thing. I'm praying, it's just the same words. The Saviour was in that situation 3 times. He prayed, saying the same thing. But then you note, he rises up. He rises up. And he goes along to the 3 disciples that are supposed to be strengthening him, Peter, James and John. And he says to them, come, let's go and meet them. And these 3 disciples, Peter, James and John, are supposed to be supporting the Saviour. But they've fallen asleep. But the Saviour has got new strength. And he goes along and encourages the 3 disciples. Where did he get that strength? When he realized what God's will was. God's will was bigger than even the trauma he was to face. And it strengthened him to go up. Arise, let's go hence and meet them. Knowing God's will strengthens. And you see, one of the biggest shocks to Paul was this. He was to be a minister to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. And you and I might say, wait a minute, isn't Paul far, far, far more qualified to bring the gospel to the Jews rather than the Gentiles? And the answer is yes. He was far more qualified to bring the gospel to the Jews. But that wasn't what God wanted. That wasn't God's agenda. That wasn't God's will. And it must have devastated Paul. But when he got hold of it, this is God's will, that strengthens him. That makes him, that gives a new dimension to his faith. That makes him established in the faith. And it's something for us all to learn. Obeying God when it doesn't seem to make sense makes us effective. Now that's what Paul learned. Paul wanted to be effective. He didn't want his ministry to be wasted. He wanted to know now he wanted blessing. And he realized it's got to be God's power, not Paul's talents, not Paul's gifts, not Paul's greatness and goodness. He had to learn that. It wasn't his gifts or talents or dedication or commitment. It was God's power, not his own. That's what made him effective. When I am weak, when I am in a situation I can't do anything about it, then Christ steps in. I hand the problem over to Jesus, and Jesus' power does it. That's the key. That's the key to you and me. For you and me. What situation are we in? And we can't do anything about it. Have we learned what the Apostle Paul learned? Call in Christ. Call in Jesus. Let him be your power. Let him be your talents. Be a nothing in yourself. But call in him. And we have to learn to let God be God. Let God control our lives. Let God make the decisions. Let God decide what we'll do. Let God be God. That's something to really learn. That's something profitable. That's the key. So, as we close finally then, the key, the secret of Paul as an effective preacher to the Gentiles was he learned to use God's power. That he had no power of his own, but to use God's power. And we ask, how did he learn that? How did he latch on to that? Well, he learnt it simply by discovering his own failures. By discovering that he was in himself, he was nothing. That his talents, his gifts, his learning, his dedication, that was nothing. It had to be God's power working through him and in him. Or put it another way. To be a somebody, first of all, he's to be a nobody. That's what Paul learned. To be a somebody in God's kingdom, you have to be a nobody in God's kingdom first. That's the secret. That's the key. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Now that ought to give you and me tremendous encouragement. That ought to give you and me hope. Maybe you are saying, look, I've no gifts. I've no talents. That doesn't matter. That's not what God uses. He can, he may. But he wants to use you. He wants you and me to commit ourselves to him. And that ought to stimulate us. That ought to give us hope. Whoever we are, whatever failures we may have been in life, whatever disappointments we've come across, if we hand ourselves over to Jesus. This is what made the difference in Paul's life. He was a strong, stable character initially. And then he met Jesus. He met Jesus. And that's what makes the difference. Meeting Jesus. Then you know what power is. Then you know what blessing is. Then you know what efficiency is. He must increase. I must decrease. That's how Paul learned. That's how Paul became strong and stable in the Christian faith. And may God grant that we too learn to serve God, learn to grow deep in the things of God, learn to give Christ everything, to hand our lives over to Him, and to trust Him not only with our salvation, but with our lives. Let's pray.